When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We are on the radio from 1 until 4. And if for some reason you had something else to do after 4 o'clock, you go to the iHeart app and hear the show again, John and Ken on Demand. It's the podcast.
How dare you have something else to do?
And after that,
we show up live these 3 hours every day. We want you here.
And we're paying you money to listen. So
you have to be listening live to win the money, right? It's coming up at 2:20.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, what gives? What else do you want?
What gives? And we'll have another keyword at 2:20. And, of course, one more at 3:20 on the John and Ken Show. We're keeping an eye on a story for our show this afternoon in Sacramento. The Assembly Public Safety Committee killed a bill that everyone thought would easily pass, and that is to list human trafficking as a serious felony offense in the state of California. When you hear the words child trafficking, you got to be thinking that's a serious crime. But apparently not in the Assembly Public Safety Committee. Yeah. This bill sailed through the Senate, but it looks like it's getting blocked in the Assembly by this Public Safety Committee.
Yeah. And the chairman
one Republican voted for it. Another one was absent, and all the Democrats that were there voted against it. We don't have a complete tally yet, but we believe certainly it was enough to block the bill.
Now. And the chair of the committee is Reggie Jones Sawyer from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And apparently, I don't know, he and the other Democrats are on the side of the perverts who sell young girls into sex slavery.
Nice.
Who knew? Who knew Reggie Jones Sawyer was pro teenage sex slavery? Ah, great to know. No serious felony there. No serious jail time. Yeah. Carry on, men. Whatever you want to do there.
Not a big deal. All right, we are now going to talk about. Get this, a bit of a shock. The ACLU is also opposed to this, as well as the John and Ken Show. How about that, John? How often does that happen?
It's good
the
to
ACLU.
Find. Let me wait to see what it is.
It's the speed camera.
Oh, God, yeah.
The ACLU is opposed to any kind of cameras that enforce laws. In case you don't know by now, and this stupid thing has been around for years, thanks to an assemblywoman by the name of Laura Friedman, a Democrat from Glendale, Assembly Bill 645. Right now, they're in a pilot program with the speed cameras, and here are the places. L.A., Long Beach, Glendale, that's where she's from. San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose. Civil penalties would be $50 if you exceed the speed limit by 11 miles an hour. It jumps to 100 if it's 16 miles per hour, 200 if you're 26 miles per hour over, and if you're 100 miles per hour over the speed limit, it could hit $500.
Well, except...
Look, that would be dangerous.
Well, the thing is, passing this bill is not going to stop the guy who's driving 30 miles an hour over the speed limit. Because that guy is drunk or on cocaine or meth or something. No. He doesn't know what the laws are and he doesn't care. So they're using that to sound dramatic. The truth is they want the money for the $50 penalties. $50 times everyone who slightly speeds is a tremendous amount of money for the local governments. And that's the point of this. Laura Friedman is a complete and utter phony. She knows it's about collecting the fine money for the people who casually speed. It's not about going after the whack jobs you see on the freeways on Friday night, because there's no law that's ever going to stop them.
She responded to that. This is not meant to be a cash cow. These are not revenue generators. The money collected in fines has to be used to pay for the system. Anything left over, yeah, it's one of your favorite phrases, John, will be put into traffic calming measures. Speed bumps, flashing speed limit signs, and crosswalks.
More impediments to driving. More of those bike curbs that they built
in
Santa Monica.
See, you need to be calmed. Listen to you.
We don't need to be calmed. The only reason we've got more people getting run over is we have more homeless people stumbling around whacked out on meth. That's why. Take the homeless out, and I bet you the traffic fatalities go down. And they're not happening in most neighborhoods anyway. Most of the deaths are happening, you know, near the homeless encampments. They're not happening in normal suburban neighborhoods where normal people live.
Well, they claim that nationally pedestrian road deaths are way up in the last couple of years.
Show me that. Show me.
I think it started with the pandemic. Nobody was on the roads, so the people that are on the roads were going 100 miles an hour.
They were
just thrilled to be able to speed.
Especially
if you live in L.A.
I don't believe their numbers. I want to see the names of the people. I want to know what they were doing when they got hit.
Oh, they claim some of it's the street racing, too.
Well, street racing, that's a sicko culture that's got nothing to do with my neighborhoods.
Don't put the speed cameras up where the street racers are. It's always a certain intersections, right? They take over and start doing
it's because they won't prosecute. You know, you could prosecute all those speed racers. You could confiscate their cars. Tow them away, confiscate them, sell them, let them get crushed into metal boxes in Mexico somewhere. You can destroy those cars, and that would end it. If those guys started losing their cars, street racing would end in about 5 minutes. They don't want to. Instead, they want to use that as a pretext for taking $50 from me and you and every other normal person in the world who doesn't stumble whacked out on meth in the middle of the street and who doesn't street race on a Friday and Saturday night. We don't do this stuff. But if we casually speed in the neighborhood, now they're going to want $50. And what I can't stand is this phony Laura Friedman, who's going to stand up there and look like the protective mother bear looking out for all the children at risk because of all the bad guys out there speeding, right? She's the savior. She's going to protect us all. This is a money grab. It's always a money grab. Why are there fines? Why are the fines so big?
Well, the first time you do it, there's no fine, just a warning. But after that,
and I can't stand living in a society already with cameras everywhere.
Now, is this points on your license? I don't see that it is. I don't see that here. You know that whole thing we have to go to traffic school and all that crap.
Usually, speeding is points.
It is points. It doesn't say that in the story. Yeah. Oh, she's claiming that cities that have speed cameras have reduced traffic fatalities. Portland, 46% drop after they put in speed cameras. Oh, I'd like to see the proof of that.
I don't believe that. These people lie all the time. They lie constantly. Remember when Mike Bonin was trying to come up with statistics to prove that his road diet was necessary to remove lanes of traffic?
Oh, yeah, he came up with all sorts of ridiculous stories.
We did an investigation, and they were lies. I remember, I'll give you an example of what he did in case you forgot, because this goes back about 6 years. But there was a person who was run over and killed on a dark road along the beach near El Segundo, Playa Vista, that area.
Yeah, that's Vista Del Mar.
Vista Del Mar. Yeah, it was like 2 in the morning. They were walking back from a bar, and they were walking in the street.
Oh, that whole area was Darwinism because it's got two or three lanes in each direction, and idiots were trying to just run over to the beach.
Mike Bond and the Liar used that example to remove a lane of traffic during rush hour, and it caused a huge backup on Venice Boulevard, huge backup in all four directions in that area in Playa del Rey. And his defense was, well, this guy who got run over, well, he was run over at 2 in the morning on another road where there's not much lighting, and he just was stumbling home from a bar, and he got run down. So, hey, don't walk in the road at 2 in the morning when you're intoxicated. Then you won't get run over by another car. But you don't have to he tied up the rush hour traffic. Yeah. They're liars. They make statistics up. We got that removed.
That's what you have to do. You have to get media attention. You have to fight back. Like that RV encampment in Sylmar, people are fighting back. That's going to get removed eventually.
Here's another thing that's causing traffic fatalities. People staring at their stupid screens between homeless bums stumbling around, drunk and on meth. One of the major other factors is everybody's looking at their screens while they're driving. And we all know this is going on. So they're tooling down the road, and I see people looking down, watching videos, reading texts every day. This is the game I play.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and especially when I'm waiting to make a left turn on Sunset Boulevard right near my house, and there's a stream of traffic, rush hour traffic going by me, and so I'm sitting there waiting to make the left turn, and here comes another car, you know, a couple of dozen cars will go by, and I'm looking, and I'd say about a third of them have their heads down, looking at a screen. So this is just an opportunist, this Laura Friedman. Just wants to steal money from you.
When we return, speaking of money, you could get some. We'll reveal another keyword. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2:30, you got to hear this story. The San Francisco Chronicle did an in-depth series of stories on the drug problem in San Francisco. Certain neighborhoods have been overrun, particularly with fentanyl. They traced a lot of it back to a little village in an area in Honduras. That's where many of the dealers are coming from. It's so bad, and it's so good a trade for these citizens of Honduras that they're sending money back home, and it's resulting in a real estate boom in this area of Honduras.
Oh, really?
And it's, of course, San Francisco's sanctuary city policies which help make this easy for the drug dealers who migrate from Honduras to San Francisco, because even if they get caught, they're often just kicked right back to the streets free.
Right. And
we'll tell you all about this.
They can energize the Honduran economy by killing Americans here on the streets of San Francisco.
And we heard this. How about that? I wasn't sure it was when you were out or you were here. I had a guest who said many of the dealers are migrants. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? And they said yes. They didn't say Honduras, but they said often it's migrant dealers selling it to all these whacked out people in the Tenderloin.
London Breed said that one day. And they started screaming at you, hey, racist, racist. Except she was telling the truth. In this district, it is Honduran illegal immigrants that are in charge of much of the drug trade.
Yeah, word got back that this is a way to make money, so more and more people migrated. They actually traced it back to one guy in particular who did this first.
You're not going to believe what we can do in America. We kill Americans, and then we'll send the money back home so you have a better life. I thought it was all oppression there in Honduras. I guess not. I guess they've got some kind of economic resurgence thanks to all the drugs that the addicts in San Francisco use.
Today, the former Manson family member, Leslie Van Houten, is a free woman.
Isn't that sick?
73 years old. She was serving a life sentence for a role in the murders of Leno and Rosemary LaBianca in 1969 as part of the Manson murders of that year.
And she was actually one of the killers.
She was. She stabbed.
She wasn't a hanger-on. No. She stabbed, I think, that woman, Rosemary LaBianca.
She says after her partner, Charles Tex Watson, stabbed Rosemary LaBianca, he handed her a knife. She stabbed the woman at least 14 times.
14 times and severed her spine. Oh. All right. So this Leslie Van Houten actually severed the spine and murdered a woman willingly, and Gavin Newsom is letting her go.
Yeah, he's blocked this before, but not this time.
Not this time.
The parole board keep giving her parole, and he was denying it, but this time he's not going to stand in the way.
This is another misdirection play. Who puts these people on the parole board? Who appoints the parole board?
Yeah. Well, apparently what happened was he got overruled by a California appeals court earlier this year, and he's decided not to challenge the appellate court decision.
But he has been the governor now for 5 years, lieutenant governor before that, and he and Jerry Brown dismantled the entire justice system. The governors appoint the parole board members. Right. So you have a
This is the first time a court has overruled the governor's denial of parole to a Manson follower. It was the second district court of appeal.
I can't believe I lived long enough to see a Manson follower who actually participated in a murder get released. And Newsom surrendered. He wouldn't do the final appeal. There's no argument as to why you should keep somebody like Leslie Van Houten in prison, really? Let's go through the 14 stab wounds. Let's go through the severed spine. Let's go through the woman dying on the floor of her own house.
Well, we're in an era in California now where there is no such thing as life without parole. So
yeah, and who set that up? Newsom and the legislature. Who appoints to the parole board? Newsom. You know, he sits there going, it's not my responsibility. No, it's you. It's you. It is you. You signed all this crap. Jerry Brown signed a lot of crap.
No.
I mean, he is heinous. He is an absolutely evil, heinous person. And he spends his nights watching Fox News. And he's going to watch tonight, and they're going to say, well, you know, Newsom let Manson kill her out. What's he going to do, get upset?
Well, this is against your theory that he wouldn't do anything that hurts his run for the presidency.
People
could use this against him.
Yeah.
He let a Manson killer out.
Yeah. If you can't
run. He did not try to block her parole again.
If you can't run against that. Seriously, if you can't mount a campaign against Gavin Newsom, you should just jump off a bridge and end it. And you can't give him any wiggle room. He can't blame the legislature. He can't blame the parole board. He is intimately involved in every step of the way of destroying the justice system for the last 5.5 years.
When we come back, many of the drug dealers that are affecting the streets of San Francisco, certain neighborhoods overrun by zombied out drug addicts, many of them come from a small village, small area of Honduras. We'll talk about it next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We got the Moist Line. You can connect to the Moist Line using that app, the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number. It's coming back on Friday, 3 o'clock hour, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. We'll take a closer look at one of the biggest Southern California stories in the last several days. That's the collapsing homes in RHE. That stands for Rolling Hills Estates. It's in the Palos Verdes Peninsula. These houses are collapsing in a canyon area of Rolling Hills Estates, and many of them are already, well, they've given up. They're eventually just probably, there's nothing that can be done. We'll talk about this with KFI News reporter Corbin Carson in about 30 minutes and find out how this could have happened. Residents are shocked, but if you look at actually the topography, it's not all that hard to believe, and we'll get into that coming up next hour. Well, we'll get to dig into this story now. The San Francisco Chronicle has done a huge series of stories about, of course, the drug problem in the city, in the Tenderloin, and another neighborhood called South of Market. There are, of course, many addicts in the streets. And how do the addicts get their drugs? Well, they get them from the drug dealers. Often the drug is fentanyl, which can be very addictive and very dangerous. And when they decided to do this story, one thing they discovered, many of the drug dealers in San Francisco are all coming from the same place.
Like the same town in Honduras.
You might hear, yeah, it's called Sorilla Valley, a cluster of villages about 80 miles north of the capital of Honduras. And, you know, you see those stories that we were talking about 7-Elevens today. You often see that there are sometimes migrants and sometimes they're either Indian or Pakistani that work in 7-Elevens. Often what happens is people back home find out that this has become a pretty good way to make a decent living and they migrate to America and they get their own franchise. Well, the same thing happened here in a very negative way with drug dealing. This little village, cluster of villages in Honduras, people found out that this one guy makes $350,000 a year. You know how far that goes? In these tiny villages in Honduras, $350,000?
That's like getting tens of millions of dollars.
There are homes, and one of them is a mansion in one of these villages. And guess what they have on them? A San Francisco Giants logo on the balcony ceiling. Two 49er logos on the front gate. Civic center splayed across the security bars.
So think of all the lies that were told about the migrants leaving their oppressed villages and violence. And they come here, and all they want is a chance at freedom and hard work.
Well, the Chronicle pointed out most of the migrants do not engage in drug dealing, Honduran migrants.
Yeah, well, they found 200 migrants charged in San Francisco just since last year.
Since last year, yeah. And that number does not include Honduran dealers who were convicted in previous cases or others who have never been arrested.
One dealer from the Sorilla Valley who got to San Francisco in 2004, said as a child, he would watch as others returned to Honduras after selling drugs in the Bay Area. They were popular because of the cars and money, so everybody wanted the same.
You can work on the farms in these villages, but you are going to make a pittance.
Work for 10,000 years and not make the money you could make in a single year here.
Right. So when word gets out, it's $8 a day doing farm work there, a typical resident.
You know how many people died in San Francisco from drug overdoses? 2,200. 2,200. And now you have these 200 guys arrested who are bringing who are making six figures themselves potentially, killing San Franciscans.
The other advantage to San Francisco is because of its sanctuary city status, there's a very low risk of getting any jail time and really no risk of being deported. So that's another reason why the migrants have come to San Francisco from Honduras, not only to make a lot of money, but to face few consequences. They actually call themselves Hondos, the drug dealers.
They're
selling drugs in the Bay Area and open markets.
All right, so in case you haven't gone to San Francisco in a while, here's what you're going to find. A man in his early 30s lay motionless on a sidewalk outside the federal building. On his right, a dozen users smoked fentanyl and crack cocaine, or they were hung bent at the waist, heads suspended at their knees. To his left, a handful of dealers, cloaked in black, except for the space around their eyes. They continued selling while a passerby revived the man with Narcan. So there you go. Gee, why are all the conventions canceling in San Francisco? That sounds lovely.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, even Meta canceled a big convention in San Francisco.
Do you believe that?
Something called Red Hat. Do you know who they are? Is that a tech outfit?
Yeah, tech. Yeah. So even Zuckerberg isn't going to have his...
He's not going to come there.
No.
Right? The Chronicle says almost all of the alleged dealers are released on their own recognizance before trial, which means they do not have to post bond. They may be required to check in regularly with a case manager. Some get assigned to diversion programs or have charges dismissed, and others just plead guilty to lesser non-drug charges.
Okay, and here's where woke politics gets in the way. The San Francisco leaders, well, let me rephrase this. It says the Hondurans have been around for a while, but their presence and relatively recent rise in the city have never been explored in depth and are poorly understood. Oh, everybody there. Everybody at the San Francisco Chronicle, all the TV stations.
Oh, the police know.
Police know.
All
the politicians, they knew that this was a Honduran men coming here and killing the locals. They knew this. But Get this. London Breed, the mayor, was called xenophobic and racist for saying last fall that a lot of the dealers are Honduran. She later apologized, saying it wasn't her intention to single out one community or place the blame solely on them. Well, the Chronicle has this, if you print out this story, it's 17 pages. It's 17 pages. She was right. A lot of them are from Honduras. She was telling the truth. And listen to this weasel, San Francisco Police Chief Bill Scott. There's no value in studying the demographics of potential offenders.
Oh, yes, there is.
They're all coming from the same village.
You block them. Deport them.
Yes. They're illegal aliens from the same village, and they're making $350,000 a year.
You have to cut back on their huge income sources because the word continues to get back to these villages. You got to go to San Francisco. It's easy money. The Chronicle actually traced this to Dealer Zero. Alejandro Velasquez apparently ended up in San Francisco almost by accident. He was trying to get to Atlanta. It's a long story. But he ended up in the mid-90s. He came from a tiny village called El Pedernal to sell drugs in San Francisco. It was a series of travel mistakes, and eventually he was wandering around in San Francisco, and a guy said, "Hey, want a job?" And what do you think the job was? Dealing drugs. And he started to do well, and he sent money home, and he came home to visit. And word got around. In fact, in August of 2019, his daughter and her husband were swept up in a federal crackdown on tenderloin drug dealing. He didn't want to talk about her in this interview. The Chronicle actually went to interview him. And he says, "I never meant to convince other people to come to San Francisco to sell drugs. And that's a dark period of my life. I actually really work construction in Atlanta." Okay. But fascinating story about how he was one of the first to make people aware in these villages in Honduras that San Francisco is a great place to make big bucks by selling drugs.
And now they have bodies stacked up all over the place. And all these zombies bent over at the waist, their heads between their knees. Right. Whacked out on fentanyl. Probably more of them on trank now. So their skin is rotting. They have their open rotting sores.
Yeah, well, people are desperate in that country for income. It's a very, very poor place. Honduras is one of those Central American countries that sends a lot of migrants to the U.S. You can only imagine when somebody comes back and buys a mansion. It's leading to some sort of real estate boom in the area because they're sending money back and people are buying better homes.
Yeah.
Someone asks, how did you do that? Oh, my nephew. He's a dealer in San Francisco. Yeah. All right, I'm going to send my kid.
There's big money in killing Americans. You know, really, kill American drug addicts. You're gonna be a king.
Well,
down in these little villages,
they're dumb enough to accept this in San Francisco. That's the consequence.
Yeah,
people are gonna die, and they are dying.
That's such a compassionate place, San Francisco, isn't it?
So, if you want to read these stories in the Chronicle, it's fascinating. All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere. The iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio 1 until 4 and after 4 o'clock. Whatever you missed, you can listen to the John and Ken on demand podcast on the iHeart app.
All right, coming up after the news at 3 o'clock, I guess it's pretty fascinating for people to see homes worth millions of dollars collapsing on a hillside. That is what's going on with the landslide in Rolling Hills Estates. That's on the Palos Verdes Peninsula. Corbin Carson's covering this story for KFI News. He'll bring us up to date on the conditions there after the news at 3 o'clock. We've joked about, well, we were just talking about how Meta is not coming to San Francisco for their annual conference, their convention. That's a big loss. Meta? The tech people? San Francisco?
They're afraid of getting killed.
It's just not a pretty place right now, exactly.
I wouldn't go on a convention in downtown San Francisco.
Of course, Meta...
The war zone.
...begat this idea from Mark Zuckerberg that the future was all about the metaverse. The idea was to create virtual cities, virtual offices, all sorts of places where people could put on the headset and go and engage, I guess, in a fantasy life. Well, as we told you before, this has bombed horribly. They spent a lot of money on this, and the thought at the time is that the metaverse would bring businesses $5 trillion in value. Everyone thought this was going to be the next big thing, the metaverse.
By the way, the company that thought that the metaverse was going to bring $5 trillion of value was McKinsey. McKinsey is the largest business consulting firm in the country. Pete Buttigieg worked for, worked for them. And they're the ones that all the big companies hire to help streamline their operations and squeeze more and more efficiency and profit. There's no bigger name than McKinsey. So they led this incredible hype parade, and it was all nonsense. It was all BS. Citibank valued the metaverse at $13 trillion.
There was a report by Insider that something called Decentraland, arguably the largest and most relevant metaverse platform, had only 38 active daily users.
38. Decentraland is where people were building fake cities, fake shopping centers. Companies were spending millions of dollars buying up real estate. There was a whole market for this. This was going on for several years, because they wanted to plant their flag and claim the land in Decentraland. I know this sounds nuts, but really this was happening. Companies and people were spending millions of dollars. The way if suddenly there was a new, what's the analogy for this? Let's say they found a new tropical island with beautiful weather. What would happen? All the hotel companies would claim lots on the island to build new hotels and new resorts and new restaurants and new this and new that. Well, this was it. This was all virgin territory that they thought billions of people were going to move to and spend all their waking hours in.
Because Zuckerberg was, you know, one of the co-founders of Facebook, a lot of the media got caught up in the idea that the metaverse was going to be the next big thing. The Guardian reported that one of the features designed to reward users in Meta's flagship product, Horizon Worlds, produced no more than $470 in revenue globally. 38 active users, $470.
$470
around. That's how big a bomb this was.
Around the world. And Zuckerberg spent tens of billions of dollars on this.
I know. That's where a lot of his fortune went.
Yeah. And so that's why his next project was to copy Twitter. Because he's out of ideas. Because nobody cares about this stuff except weirdo techno geeks like him. I never heard of a single person talk about, I can't wait to go to the metaverse. And from what I understand...
I thought it was going to appeal to basement incels. And there wasn't enough of them either.
I get, yeah, those were the 38.
Right, because last time we talked about this, some of the guys would go in there and take on an avatar and act really dirty, right, or something.
Yeah, that's right. And it was like looking at a cartoon, but nobody had legs. Seriously. You could get your avatar to represent
all
you.
All that money, nobody had legs?
No. I understand. Because in every cartoon I've ever seen since I was a little kid, everybody had legs. But somehow they couldn't make legs for the metaverse. These virtual cities, virtual offices, were all going to be funded with cryptocurrency and supplied with NFT art.
NFTs, yeah.
Yeah, all the great scams of the century. Cryptocurrency, NFTs, the metaverse.
Non-fungible, whatever.
This was like an orgy of all the great scammers in the world.
All right, when we return, Corbin Carson from KFI News will update us on what's going on in Rolling Hills Estates with these homes that are sliding into a canyon, and there doesn't appear to be anything that can be done about it. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI Newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to The John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.